You're listening to the Jason Gregor Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. It's Black Friday all month. Over 100 remaining 217 models to choose from. 0% interest financing available on every unit, and prices reduced up to $10,500. Check it out, Lakewood Chev.
Let's go around the NHL, brought to you by Cougar Paint and Collision. There, when you need them, call or stop in. No appointment required. They'll see you right away. You can trust Cougar Paint and Collision. They're family serving yours, 88th Street and Yellowhead Trail. We welcome in John Walton, of course, covering the Capitals, also doing play-by-play for them. He will be doing play-by-play at the upcoming Olympics for women's hockey. John, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, fellas. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, huge honor. Anytime you get to call the Olympics, it'll be massive. And if I was making a prediction now, the one prediction I'd make of the Olympics, it's almost a lock that Canada and U.S. will be going for the women's gold in hockey. It's a great rivalry.
Yeah, it's tough to imagine it going any different direction, especially over the last few years, right? I mean, Team USA certainly has a lot of motivation after what happened in Sochi and really over the last 20 years. And they've seen a lot of each other. They don't like each other. They are easily the two best in the field. And I think a lot of the preliminaries leading up to what will be probably a very epic gold medal game, it's going to be a lot of fun. But I think the journey along the way and being able to tell the stories that are involved, especially on the USA side. It involves a lot of heartbreak. So I guess if you're talking about heartbreak, you got to bring a guy from the Washington Capitals because we know how that works. So we can tell that story. But, by the time that we get to that point, I'm sure it's going to be just epic.
Well, John, I thought it was really interesting how the NHL brought in a couple of the Olympians to help out with the on-ice skills competition for the NHL players. And Hillary Knight was out there, and it kind of slipped through the cracks, but she was one of the fastest people to do the shooting the five-point shooting contest, if I'm correct.
Yeah, she was. And, that top line for Team USA, even 4 years ago, that's the offensive engine that makes them go. And the one thing that I've been able to glean so far, I mean, as you look at the offense on this team, man, can they skate? That's the big strength of the team. Offensively, they struggled against Canada. It's in the prelims and leading up in the games that were played in the NHL buildings in St. Paul and Winnipeg, San Jose, and, of course, Edmonton. It was something that, I think is a little bit of a concern. I think Team USA, too, looks, as far as goaltending is concerned. They're going with someone who hasn't played in the Olympics before. We know that much. It starts with Hillary Knight. It starts with Megan Duggan. And it has the fuel up front to be able to skate and provide a whole lot of offense, at least in theory. It's something that they didn't have quite a lot of going down the stretch and through November and December. But they've had a lot of time to regroup and get ready, and certainly motivation. They're not going to be lacking any of that by the time that they get to South Korea.
John, moving to the team that you see on a day-to-day basis, the Washington Capitals, obviously been a very good team for the last few years in the regular season, and then the frustration hits come postseason time. Anything you see different on the makeup of this team that wasn't there in previous years, or that's slightly different, that makes them a potential team that finally can get over that hurdle and get to a conference final or Stanley Cup championship?
There's been a lot that's different. It's tough to say better when you had such a roster that was so deep last year and the acquisition of a guy like Kevin Shattenkirk, who basically was, in theory, a power play specialist and a seventh defenseman who already was a very deep core. And he, along with the rest of the core that was there up front, this was a great team. This team this year might be more of a team in terms of the makeup and in terms these guys are close. And that's not to say last year's wasn't. It's just that you've got guys who might have had their last stop in the NHL if this didn't work out, like Alex Chiasson, like Devontae Smith-Pelly. Brett Connolly was in that boat last year. Brett Connolly's having a terrific offensive year, the best of his career to this point. You've got guys who, a little bit of the last chance, and boy, we make it here or we don't at all. And we're done with a core and a guy like Alex Ovechkin, who's been playing some of his best hockey in a decade right now. Going to skip to 600 goals this year. Going to be one of the youngest to ever get there, assuming it happens at some point this season, which seems to be a virtual lock as long as he's healthy. And the other guys around, there have been guys that have been slumping on this team. But if the scary thing about this team is as good as they've been and they're 6 points up going into play tonight, they haven't really reached their peak yet. There's a lot of struggle offensively. There's still some growing pains on defense with Madison Bowie and Christian Juice and trying to take over the big minutes that were eaten up by guys like Carl Alsner last season who move on, and Nate Schmidt, who's become a star in Vegas. And that's not been an easy thing. We knew this was going to be, from game one to game 82, was going to be a work in progress. It still is, and it sounds weird to say that when you're six up in first place, I suppose, but for the Caps, that's what it is. It's a work in progress, and if they're peaking by the time they get to March, April, May, it would be a different kind of peaking than we've had the last couple of years. This isn't a likelihood of President's Trophy team, but they might be a division winner, and you know, depending on the path, you know, maybe that's enough.
You mentioned the offense, and are they getting enough offense out of Dmitry Orlov?
Dmitry's done a great job defensively. I think there are a lot of places that you can point to say, boy, offensively, probably need to pick it up. TJ Oshie's right at the top of the list. Evgeny Kuznetsov is 1A on that list. Andrei Burakovsky's got 3 goals this year. Nick Backstrom has been good, but he's been up and down offensively and a little quieter lately. Tom Wilson is in a role where he's taken on more offensively, and he's been pretty good offensively, but a little quiet lately through the month of January. For all of that, this team is still getting enough offense from other people, and Lars Eller has been tremendous. I don't know if you had a forward as an MVP in the non-Ovechkin category. It's Lars Eller right now. I mentioned Brett Connolly before. The third line carried this team through a month of January. They had a lot of breaks. They had the All-Star break. They had the bye week. But they also had this weird 5-day just happened not to be playing week where January has not really been in the wheelhouse for this team, where they just haven't been able to get in a rhythm like they like to playing every other day. They're about to. 15 games in 28 days starts tomorrow against Philly. 4 of the first 5 are going to be against divisional teams. The other is going to be against Vegas. So I think that they've got, once they get back in rhythm offensively, power play's been lacking. I mean, there are a lot of places you can point to that they've been offensively lacking. I don't know that Dmitry would be a place I key on, but I think that he still has the potential to be a more offensive player. I just think he's been a little more defense first in a shutdown role with Matt Niskanen.
Talking Washington Capitals with John Walton, the voice of the Caps, and you mentioned, you know what? I think it's been proven you don't have to win the President's Trophy to have a success in the playoffs. And do you get a sense at all from the Capitals that they're not worrying about that anymore? Like, they're, you know, sure, Tampa Bay is obviously ahead of them, but and so is Boston at this point. But they're in an ultra tight division in the Metro. They have a little bit of breathing room, but Columbus, Pittsburgh, New Jersey, Philadelphia, the Rangers, and the Islanders are all separated by 2 points, and even Carolina with the game in hand isn't completely out of it at 52. Of all those teams right now, John, who do you like best?
It's a great question, because I think at different times over the last 60 days, everybody has had a bit of a swoon and some have been able to rebound. I think the Caps have done the best job of being able to withstand any real sustained losing streak. Even when they came out of a holiday break and they were losing, but they were still pulling points. And that's pretty important in the modern game, of course. And they haven't really gone in any prolonged losing streak. Columbus was in an awful tailspin for a while. The Rangers started out well, but they've got so many road games, it's tough to see the Rangers being a serious threat this year. The Flyers are playing as well as anyone right now. I think if you're going to look at a team and say, who's the hot team in the division right now, my money's on Washington's opponent, the Philadelphia Flyers, who were in that awful 10-game winless string before they went on the Western Canadian trip in December and turn their whole season around. I think Philadelphia is a playoff team. I think Carolina, to your point, I completely agree. They're not out of anything. And they've got a team that is as fast skating as you're going to find in this division, especially from the back end forward. So it's anybody's division. Washington has it right now. But to keep it, they have to win these divisional games. They have 2 games and a home-and-home with a couple of days in between next week with Columbus. That's going to tell a lot as far as the Jackets and the Caps. They're only going to have 1 more head-to-head after that, and it's at the end of February. The Flyers are done coming to D.C. after tomorrow. So they're, you know, these games are important to try and hold off the Lions that are coming at the door here from second, as you say, all the way to, you know, maybe 6th to 7th, where nobody is out of it in this division. But hold your own against the division and start to get rolling again in the month of February, and it's going to be Washington's division to lose.
You talk a little bit about TJ Oshie and his production slipping. What are you seeing differently this year that he hasn't quite lived up to, what he had? What do you have, like 30 goals the last 2 years, basically?
Yeah, even strength, I think, is the culprit. Last year, he had 25 goals at even strength. He was a monster, and it was the best offensive season he's ever had. This year, he's got 4. And part of it has been injury. Part of it is, you may remember the hit that Joe Thornton put on him when San Jose was here in November. Or early December, excuse me. He managed to come back against Dallas, and he's like, okay, he's back, he's fine, and that was in mid-December. But offensively, his game hasn't come back since then. Almost, you don't feel like something's not right. Whether it's health or something nagging, we are privy to it, but it just seems like something's not quite there. He's been on the third line, he's been on the second line, he's been on the top line, and nothing has really seemed to work. It's been an odd year. He started out really well. He had the big contract, and he came out playing like it in October. But since the injury, since December, it's been a little bit of tough sledding for him offensively. And for the Caps to be successful, especially once the weather starts getting warmer, they need TJ Oshie to produce. There's no question.
Trade deadline comes basically a month away. You look at the Capitals right now. What do you think they would add? Do they need anything specific?
It may sound strange given all the brief diatribe about lack of offense, but I don't think they need a forward. They have the pieces, and I think even through 13, a guy like Chandler Stephenson, who hasn't contributed a ton offensively, but he's been very good in his role. And you go all the way to 1-13, and I say Chandler just because he's probably a guy that's sitting out tomorrow night. You're pretty happy, if not with organizational depth. You don't have a ton of call-ups maybe from Hershey. If there was somebody that you could add, just for depth, maybe you would. But this team needs another defenseman. And I don't think there's any question about that. When you look beyond Niskanen and Orlov, John Carlson is having a Norris Trophy-type season, not just with the offense he's made and put together, but just the sheer minutes that he logs. Almost no one in the NHL is logging more time than he is this year. But you get beyond that. Brooks Orpik is a 5-6 defenseman and a good one at that and a tremendous leader in the room, but he's not a guy that you can expect 22, 23, 24 minutes out of anymore. Christian Juice and Madison Bowery are both in their first NHL seasons and being relied upon a lot. If the Caps go into game one and they have two rookies on the back end, it's not the end of the world, but if you have an injury or something happens and what doesn't happen in the Stanley Cup playoffs when it comes to injury, somebody's going to get dinged along the way. You get real thin real quick back there if you lose. Matt Niskanen was out in October. This team really struggled without him for a good 4 or 5 weeks. That would be a nightmare situation for Washington. They need they don't need a big guy. They don't need somebody to come in and be a 25-minute guy and playing with Carlson, playing top minutes. But they do need a 3-4, someone who can relegate Orpik to those minutes and maybe shield the kids a little bit. If they're able to do that, that creates a little bit of depth, and you've got a chance to withstand an injury or two, and you got the goalie you feel that could do it. Braden Holtby as good as anyone in the field when they get started. But I think if you're looking around, I think you're probably looking at adding a defenseman at the deadline.
I love to bring up John Carlson as we're talking with John Walton, the play-by-play guy for the Washington Capitals. John Carlson's having just a massive year, and he's 28 years old, a pretty young guy. But it's also free agency is looming around the corner. Has there been any discussions or talk of anything, whispers about what may or may not happen with him heading to next year?
One of the things that I think not only we in the broadcast booth in Washington, but certainly all the media that covers this team, is that Brian McClellan really will tell you what he thinks, and as open and honest as any general manager in the game. And he's been very clear on this. He wants to re-sign John Carlson, and he will make every effort to do so. That doesn't mean that the feeling will be mutual if somebody's dangling a gigantic contract, which may very well be waiting on the other side for number 74. But I think the priority for Washington is John Carlson first, and if the feeling at some point were to shift that, listen, I don't know if this is going to happen or not, then you're probably going to be looking other places because out of necessity, but not before summertime. John Carlson's not going anywhere as a UFA, not with where this team is in the standings and where they are likely to be by the end of the year, unless something pretty apocalyptic would happen. They've had a very solid season up until this point. They've been growing from game one all the way to now, but Come summertime, there are going to be tough decisions. And if they can't re-sign him or they don't feel they can, I don't know when that moment comes, and that's above my pay grade. But I would think Brian McClellan has said he wants to bring John Carlson back. I think they would try and build a long-term deal together, go alongside Kuznetsov and along Oshie and the faces of the franchise moving forward for the better part of the next decade if they're able to get it done.
John, always great to talk to you. We appreciate it. Have a great time at the Olympics.
I appreciate it, fellas. Thanks very much.